now call this regular council meeting of the Town of Amesburg to order. Could you please stand for a moment of silence? Thank you. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none. Item 4, minutes of the previous meeting. Councilor Levine?
I'll move items 1 through 5.
Second, Councilor Melosh. Any questions on the minutes? Councilor Puja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding the special council meeting planning, January 25th, 2016, the reference to the Boglow Dock, it's south of the Blue Haven Motel and not north of the Blue Haven Motel. And I apologize, I think I might have said incorrect words.
So noted. Any other clarifications or questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to item 5, the 2015 annual report from IRCA.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I'll say a couple of words. We'll show the annual report video, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about some of the things that we're going to be proposing to do in 2016. As I like to do every year when I come to, as part of my municipal tour every year with the annual reports, I like to reflect on something I've read or seen recently. And something that came to me just the other day was a quote from the Canadian essayist John Ralston Saul, who said, "Facts are important, but we build societies based on creativity and imagination. Societies imagine themselves in the future." And I reflect on that quote because I think it does explain well the work that conservation authorities do. We're first and foremost a science-based organization. We rely heavily on science as our starting point. Our watershed-based programs provided and have provided an ongoing and consistent response to very real and serious problems and challenges in the region. Things like land degradation, flooding and erosion, lack of natural area cover and habitat. These all have a tremendous impact on the quality of life that we might imagine. Today, new issues such as water quality, the Great Lakes, climate change adaptation, stormwater management, these tools or these challenges demand approaches that not only meet the needs of our region, but address things in a more creative and imaginative approach because they're more integrated than perhaps they have been in the past. We need to look at new ways of learning, we have to work with new partners, and we have to find new creative solutions with municipalities and our other stakeholders. Ultimately, our ability to do so, how well we'll be able to find creative solutions, will be measured by how healthy and sustainable our communities are, how resilient our region is to the changes we're seeing in the landscape, and how well we work together to respond. And so with those opening remarks, I want to thank you again for this opportunity. I do want to express regrets on behalf of my vice chair, who was planning on attending with me this evening, but unfortunately is tied up with some travel delays that he's experiencing today. So I will, with that opening remark, showcase the annual report video, and then, as I said, come back and speak briefly to some of the projects that we'll be undertaking in 2016. You don't want me to talk for 10 minutes when the video can do a much better job. So.
Our Great Lakes, in particular Lake Erie, have demonstrated their resilience through the centuries. In the 1970s, Lake Erie was notoriously declared dead, but over the next few decades, and thanks to the efforts of many, it was substantially rehabilitated. However, with the impacts of a changing climate, our Great Lakes are facing greater challenges than ever before, and the blue-green algal bloom of 2015 was the worst on record. In response, ERCOT increased its efforts to create a resilient and sustainable future for the Essex region. We congratulated the province of Ontario for passing the Great Lakes Protection Act, allowing the Ministry of the Environment and Climate Change to set environmental targets and enabling communities to address local problems. Bi-national commitments have been made to meet phosphorus reduction goals at all levels and to work collectively towards again restoring the most vulnerable of our Great Lakes. In making progress towards reducing phosphorus runoff, ERCOT created a digital elevation model for the three local watersheds. This tool will be used to find areas in agricultural fields that are prone to erosion and target projects to protect the soil in these vulnerable locations. We also continued several important research initiatives aimed at reducing phosphorus loadings from fields and greenhouses while studying its impacts on recreational beaches. ERCOT was selected as one of only four conservation authorities in Ontario to successfully partner with the Ontario Soil and Crop Improvement Association to offer the new Priority Sub-Watershed Project. This pilot will target a section of Wyville Creek in Kingsville and implement as many best management practices as possible to reduce phosphorus flowing into Lake Erie. Knowledge gained by this in-depth study will be used to guide projects in other local watersheds. We completed and began implementing the Essex Region Source Protection Plan to protect the sources of our municipal drinking water. And we assumed risk management services on behalf of our nine municipal partners to ensure contaminants are kept out of our rivers and lakes. ERCOT continued improvements along the Grand Marais Drain to reduce the risk of flooding. Following a biological assessment, overgrown trees and brush were removed. A planting strategy to regrow vegetation that will not impact water flow is planned for the future. We also hosted a workshop for municipal staff on the updated intensity duration frequency curve study. This scientific information will be used to help ensure infrastructure is more resilient to changing weather patterns. In 2015, ERCOT carefully monitored water levels as they reached the highs of 1998. Significant coastal flooding was experienced at that time, so ERCOT took extra efforts to ensure emergency preparedness with our municipal partners. We also approved a record number of permit applications and development proposals to ensure homes and people are safe from the dangers of flooding and erosion. Continued investments were made in our conservation areas to maintain the sustainability of these important public places. We built an additional kilometer of trail in partnership with the County of Essex and the Trans-Canada Trail Foundation to bring us closer to connecting the Essex region and Leamington Greenways. We replaced 200 feet of boardwalk at Copagaran Woods to ensure that it is safe and accessible for our visitors. The classroom at Holiday Beach was refreshed with help from Union Gas. We created interpretive signage in partnership with the Ontario Field Ornithologist and Peely Wings Nature Store to highlight the bird species that can be spotted in the Hillman Marsh Shorebird Habitat. We also celebrated the grand opening of the new Eco Washroom at Holiday Beach. Thanks to a partnership with the Gateway Heirloom Chapter of Questers, the Master Bed Chamber at the John R. Park Homestead was reappointed. Innovative technology was used to create wallpaper based on the antique fragments that were found inside of a homestead cupboard. In striving to create a state of environmental sustainability for our region, we planted over 125,000 trees and restored 142 acres of habitat. Four new wetlands were created to increase biodiversity and provide habitat for a variety of wildlife, including species at risk. ERCOT partnered with the Devonshire Mall and Detroit River Canadian Cleanup to create a native plant garden, emphasizing how on-the-ground actions help to improve the health of the entire watershed. We were pleased to be honored by the Carolinian Canada Coalition and received a conservation award for four decades of significant contributions in protecting and restoring Carolinian habitat. Recognizing that an educated population contributes to a resilient community, we continue to engage citizens in conservation efforts. ERCOT introduced the Teen Ranger program for young people aged 12 to 15 to provide environmental leadership skills and created a benthic water quality monitoring program for secondary school students. Our new Earth Day Traveling Roadshow was offered at no charge to schools around the region, and through this 10-day pilot program, 2,700 additional elementary students were engaged in environmental education. We hosted 38 public events and worked with over 2,500 volunteers to implement 44 tree planting, restoration, and other outreach projects. Over the past year, we consulted broadly to gather information for our 10-year strategic plan. Resilience of our organization, community, watersheds, and Great Lakes was a reoccurring theme of this consultation and gives us confidence knowing that we will be prepared to address the next generation of conservation challenges. Given our daily reliance on our natural resources, it's critical that we build resilient local watersheds in order to ensure healthy people and a reliable, sustainable economy. The work that we do every day helps to create a place that we can be proud to call home, one where the water will be fishable, swimmable, and drinkable, where our important natural places will be linked through good planning and stewardship, and where our residents are connected through and with nature.
Time I see those videos, what it fails to show sometimes is the hard work that members of our board do behind a lot of those good stories. So Councillor Fryer and our director Ron Sutherland have been great representatives of your municipality as we move forward on these projects and others. So I appreciate their input into the work that we do. In our 2016 budget, and just stepping back a little bit to as a context to some of the projects that we'd be doing, continues to build on and implement our 5-year sustainability plan. Called A Way Forward, which we launched in 2013. And that plan was in place, as I flip through my pages here that have become out of number, to deal with some of the very real accumulated issues and challenges we were facing. It positions us to be more effectively able to respond, as what was said in the video, to the next generation of conservation challenges. And it's been very successful in terms of implementation so far. Capital improvements, like you saw in the video even this evening, regarding the new beach washroom at Holiday Beach, parking lot and drainage improvements to John R. Park Homestead and Maidstone Conservation Areas, boardwalk replacements at Copacabana Woods, stream stabilization and rehabilitation of Mill Creek and new netting on the Greenway, a couple of examples of some of our capital projects. We've reduced the accumulated operational deficit from $437,000 in 2012 to a projected $96,000 by the end of 2016, and that's projected to be down to zero by the end of 2017. Our departmental consolidation has led to improved program delivery, and we've established new partnerships with other conservation authorities, universities, agencies that have been that have led to some of the updated climate change adaptation studies. You saw reference in the video to the IDF for the intensity duration frequency study, and a new national focus that we've been able to put on this region as it relates to some of the climate challenges through our role and engagement in a national research-funded program called FloodNet. So this budget continues, and our 2016 plans continue to implement those three key directions. And a couple of highlights, and I won't go through the whole list. We will be finalizing our watershed planning and development policy manual, and the goal of that is to integrate our existing regulatory and policy direction with best practices, with the goal of ultimately creating clarity and improving clarity around our regulations and policies that we implement on behalf of the province and others. We'll be coordinating on behalf of all municipalities the development of stormwater management guidelines. There's a couple of things why this is important. One, it creates consistent standards across the entire region so that there's no perceived benefit amongst one municipality versus another when it comes to some of those standards. And it also is a great example of an efficiency that we can create by coordinating that. So essentially, all of our 9 member municipalities and the County of Essex are getting the same stormwater management guidelines for 1/9 the price, essentially. So we're able to deliver a very efficient and very effective manual. We're going to be updating our MOUs with all municipal partners this year, and that's the tool that we use to facilitate review and technical clearance of municipal and county planning act applications. We'll be continuing to find ways of completing our integrated watershed management framework, which started out here in Amherstburg with Big Creek. We'll be completing an estimated at least $1.2 million worth of water and erosion control infrastructure projects in our region, and that's a program that we're eligible to apply for that gets 50% of the funding from the province through conservation authorities. In the past, we've had projects here in Amherstburg. I don't believe there's anything currently being proposed for 2016. We'll be completing public consultation for the Holiday Beach Management Plan as we try to put new focus on that conservation area. We'll begin and hopefully complete the construction of the Cypher Systems Group Greenway that will connect Essex to Amherstburg and intersect with the Chrysler Canada Greenway. At the same time, we're working with the Conservation Foundation and other partners to complete what we call the Old Castle Hub, or that 3 kilometer gap between the Chrysler Canada Greenway, the Herbgrave Parkway Trails, the Town of LaSalle Trails, and the Town of Tecumseh Trails. And we want to find a way to make all those trails connect so everyone can access the wonderful trail system that we've developed in the region. We're also at the same time, and you saw in the video there, our efforts to extend the Greenway from where it ends now into Leamington so that we can connect this entire system to the Trans-Canada Trail. And our goal is to get all that done in 2016. We're going to continue to restore these lands, another 125 acres, 20 acres of prairie, four new wetlands, over 120,000 trees, and we're going to collect over 2,000 pounds of seed again to ensure that what we restore is based on our local seed source. We're undertaking a Phragmites control project as a pilot with Hillman Marsh Conservation Area in partnership with Caldwell First Nations and some Leamington-based community groups. We're continuing to implement and research education outreach initiatives supporting the reduction of phosphorus to Lake Erie, certainly one of the big challenges that we face as a region. And internationally, we're going to look at continued study of water control structures for tile drainage maintenance, rain gardens for urban stormwater management, urban and rural low-impact design projects, and the research of innovative farming practices and best management practices. You saw reference to the Weigel Creek study. That's a key part of what we'll be doing going forward to identify what are those BMPs that we should be implementing in our region. So we'll have a chance to study them all in depth before making recommendations on which ones we should be proceeding with. Also working with academic partners to develop research projects to identify persistent and emerging water quality issues. We talked before about beach closures and contamination of beaches. This is a study that we're just finalizing now with the University of Windsor that will help us look at that project or that challenge over the next 2 or 3 years, with the goal ultimately of developing methods to find ways of remediating that in the future. Completing at least 15 water quality enhancement BMPs with rural landowners, including an innovative Big Creek Buffer initiative that we are underway with the Ministry of Natural Resources and other partners. Implementing risk management services, again on behalf of all municipalities, again as a cost-effective means of developing or of implementing risk management options. Continuing to provide coordination and support for the remedial action plan for the Detroit River. IRCA coordinates that on behalf of the Ministry of Environment and the Ministry of Environment and Climate Change. And we do that, of course, with municipalities, stakeholders, and other partners, including our friends on the other side of the river. Part of what we'll be doing with the Detroit River this year will be a Detroit River fish habitat study that will take a look and assess the types and locations and approximate costs of some coastal or in-water habitat structures that we can use in future years to target future improvements along the Detroit River that will positively benefit habitat and habitat issues. Working with our school boards again to provide service to the nearly 8,500 students annually who experience our outdoor education programs. One of the things we'll be implementing this year and launching is our specialist high skills major program. And I know that had been discussed with some of the recent discussions around schools in the region. We're also going to be hosting a Lake Erie student conference with the goal of connecting secondary school teachers, students, and Great Lakes professionals in the Western Lake Erie Basin to learn about and connect with Lake Erie and highlight and connect some of that Great Lakes research that's going on and provide access to related issues and related opportunities for students that may not be fully aware of the broad range of professions that deal with water quality in the Great Lakes. We'll be completing in the next couple of months our 2016 to 2025 strategic plan, which we'll use to help guide projects and priorities over the next decade. And part of that is building on what we introduced this year in development of that plan was what we called a regional roundtable, where we talked with CEOs or CAOs from 12 regional agencies and organizations, including the university, the college, real estate board, health unit, community foundation, just to find ways of better promoting our cross-organizational efficiencies and how can we better work together as agencies collectively working on this region that we all call home. Some of the technical stuff, again, that we do that underlies a lot of the great work that we do in the region are upgrading our information records management systems, our file classification systems, as we move to more of an electronic content system, and that's the words that's in front of me. I don't exactly know what that is yet, but we'll be moving forward with more of a online and at least a digital way of managing our records. And part of that will also be upgrading our internet service and our network equipment so that we can make sure that we can continue to deliver the programs as we move forward in more of a web-based model. Overall, I think we've demonstrated a history of balancing projects and priorities with local investment, and we certainly understand the challenges municipalities face. For instance, the examples that we showed earlier, that I spoke about earlier, in terms of introducing our capital and operational reserves, our efforts on deficit reduction, our efforts on organizational stabilization. We've been able to implement those with no increase in levy contributions directly attributable to those outcomes. So in a sense, we've solved those problems internally. Our 2016 budget totals just under $8.5 million and includes a levy contribution from member municipalities of around $2.9 million. This represents a proposed increase of 65 cents per household to a total of $15.57 per household. And that includes funding for capital and operational reserves, phased-in capital replacement, as well as our ongoing core programs and initiatives. It's important to note, though, that that levy still only funds about 20% of our operations. The other 80% of our operations comes from our ability to leverage local funds to get projects underway in this region. That puts IRCA, again, in the top 10 of all 36 conservation authorities in terms of programs and program-related revenues that we bring into our region. But at the same time, we're again in the bottom 5 of all 36 in terms of general levy as a percentage of total revenues, just over 21.7%. And well below the average, which is a little over 41% right now across the province. And I think that in itself is a very clear indication of the value that IRCA brings this region. In fact, most of the programs and projects that I highlighted tonight rely on new external funding, things like the Greenway, the Cypress Systems Greenway, things like the connection to Windsor Trails, things like our restoration programs and our wetland creation, including one at Holiday Beach. These are all projects that we're bringing in external funding to deliver on. Given our daily reliance on our natural resources, I think it's critical that we continue to build resilient local watersheds, using the term in the video. And we do that in order to ensure healthy people and ultimately a healthy and sustainable local economy and a place that people want to live in. So thank you for that, and I'm certainly happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Councillor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much for your presentation, for the wonderful work that IRCA does for all of us in this whole county. I was just wondering if you could expand a little bit on the project that you do at the elementary school level with the tree planting. Is that still going on?
We have a few projects like that. We do what we call our Eco Schools program, where we work with schools. Different schools have different Eco School programs that they work on, so we do tree planting in conjunction with some of those efforts around the region. It varies a little bit depending on the interest from a specific school and their ability to do that. So it varies on any given year in terms of where we're implementing those programs. We do still do those tree planting programs with a lot of the schools in our region and have done.
Councillor Pugia.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Mr. Weimer. Thank you, Mr. Weimer, for this excellent presentation. And thank you for mentioning our two reps, Mr. Sutherland and Councillor Breyer. I do appreciate all our hard work also. And as a former member rep on IRCA, I understand the hard work that all of you do to try to keep our environment, well, to try to improve it actually on a regular basis and to keep our people healthy. And I know that the deputy mayor will laugh about this because I ask this each and every year, and I know you must sense the same frustration regarding the fact that our beaches are closed on so many days. And could you please expand on why? It just seems like we can't get a good handle on the fact that these beaches remain closed on many hot summer days when families would like to use this.
I think in the past, in response to that question, it is a good one. I think there's been some ideas that people thought maybe were causing the problem, whether it be from issues upstream, even as far as Sarnia and Detroit, but we know a little bit more about that in terms of some of what we see flowing out and flowing down those rivers is actually sticking close to shoreline. So we don't know the extent of that issue. We don't know the extent of things like septic issues that we know we're facing collectively, not just in this region, but all across Ontario, where we have failing and or unserviced septic systems. And in some cases, people that live in septics that don't even know that they're on septics, which is always a bit of a shock to me. But that's a contributing factor. I think we know that. We know that there are other issues at play, whether it be climate change related, whether it be rainfall events, whether it be any and all of these factors. So over time, we realized that in talking to other partners that it wasn't enough to just say, we think we know what the problem is. We needed to find how to get to what the problem was. We also knew that we internally didn't necessarily have the capacity to answer that question. So we went to the University of Windsor and said, here's a very real question. We want to find a way to solve it. Are you guys interested in working with us? And they jumped on it. In behind a lot of the work that we're doing to try to focus more on that watershed research sort of program at the Conservation Authority is the development of a research strategy, which is basically saying there's a lot of things that we'd like to know more about so that we can provide advice back to our member municipalities and make decisions that are informed. This is one of those situations where we said, here's a very real problem that we're experiencing in this region. We have 270 kilometers of shoreline, and it's not very useful if the beaches are closed as often as they are. How do we find out what that is? So the university has taken it on. They're just finalizing now a research proposal or a research application that the details of which are still to come out. It has been positively received, and we think that project is going to be officially announced in the very, very near future. We're waiting some considerations for some of the federal research funding partners just to make sure that everything's lined up. And once that study comes out, we'll have a better idea of what the details are in that study. There'll be some computer modeling. There's certainly going to be some water quality sampling and water quality aspects of that, some benthic modeling, some benthic aspects of that, and then taking a look at what knowledge we do have and what knowledge we need to know. So it's going to be a multi-year study. We won't find the answers overnight because it's a complicated matter, but we at least feel that we're at least underway to finding out what some of the reasons actually are so that we can find out if there's ways that we can try to resolve those issues. We believe that upstream issues in watersheds have an impact, and we can address upstream watershed issues through restoration and through other opportunities, things like wetlands. How do we use some of these tools in the areas that they're most needed to have the best and biggest impact on those very real issues that we're experiencing?
Thank you very much for that answer. And I know that IRCA, at one time, we were at 12%. We were supposed to be at 12% cover. And right now, I'm not sure if it's
6%. We're actually a little over 8.5% right now. When we last recorded it, it was 8.5, and that was in 2011, I think. So about a percent a decade is what we're getting to.
Right.
So we have a long ways to go yet to 12.
Right. And at one time, we used to count, I thought it was about 1 million trees to get to that percentage.
About
so
that.
We're
yep.
A little bit behind, maybe 4 million trees.
Well, we're getting there. I think when we set the goal of 12% as a region, that originally was set in the mid to late 1990s, shortly after the Brundtland Commission came forward and said you need 12% to be a sustainable environment, sustainable community. That 12% wasn't necessarily based on any science. It was based on a goal that was achievable, I think, in a lot of regions. Our region adopted that goal, recognizing that we have a lot of other very valid and intensive land uses in this region that are a big support of our economy. So we felt that 12% was an achievable goal and one that didn't take away too much from other acceptable and very valid land uses. So we continue to work to that 12%. What we're finding is that efforts to get to 12% are changing. You know, when initially we were able to deliver hundreds of thousands of trees, we're now only at hundreds of thousands of trees. And working with landowners, we've reached a lot of the landowners that have done some amazing work. And certainly our efforts to get from when IRCA was established, it was under 3.5% natural area cover. Now we're at 8.5% natural area cover. A lot of that is because we have such tremendous landowners in this region that are working with us to try to get to that. We need to find another way to attract that next level of landowners. And part of that is taking a look at what's the best solution? What's the best prescription for the land that needs to be restored? Is it an upland forest? Is it a wetland? Is it a prairie? How do we find what's the right thing to do in that part of the landscape? And what is it that the landowner wants to do? So we're achieving some smaller goals, but 12% goal was to get there by 2020, and I think it's fair to say we're a little off that goal.
And thank you for that. So I know that you stated that you wanted to planted 125,000 trees in the past year, and that you do have a seed source. And I know that was devastating to all of Essex County, in fact, most of the province, when the emerald ash borer, it just took hundreds and hundreds of thousands of trees. So that brings me to the Windsor Star article. I'm sure you're aware of this, but the government promised to plant 50 million trees, and it's failing to attract the public attention. And they're prepared to offer these seedlings at a very, very, very low price. Could IRCA take advantage of that, or would that be a conflict for you? And could the town of Amherstburg take advantage of that, or
Absolutely, in both situations. Trees Ontario is one of our key partners when we deliver our restoration program. So we are a conduit for that program in our region. So our goal is that whether it's municipality or landowner to access that program, just come and talk to IRCA, because on top of that, we may have other incentives and values that we can bring to the table that even reduce the cost of tree planting that much more, depending on the watershed. For instance, projects in the Detroit River, we have different funding pots that we can access than projects in Cedar Creek or otherwise. So this is why the Trees Ontario, or Forest Ontario, I think they call themselves now, is one of our absolutely key funding partners. And we've worked very closely with them when we deliver our workshops or our seminars. They're there with us as we try to find ways of getting to the community to say, we can give you trees, we just need to work with you to find the land to plant them on. So it is one that they're a very, very close partner of ours. And if Amherstburg or any other municipality wants to work with us, by all means, come talk to our foresters and we'll sort that out.
Sure. So as a follow-up, I would just ask if our member, Mr. Sutherland and Councillor Fryer, could work with the IRCA and see if there's some way that Amherstburg could benefit.